And then it goes and says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Wow. Obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may be able to live long on the earth. Is it possible that a lot of people die young because of dishonor? Is it possible that the reason why a lot of people are plagued by ailments is connected to this whole issue of honor? Obedience. Everybody wants their rights. Everybody wants to do whatever it is that they want to do because they want to be independent. And God says, no, start out first. First principle, children, when you're a child, learn how to obey your parents. Obey their instructions. Obey what they're saying to you. In the Lord, obey them. He says, when you do this, you are honoring also your father and you're honoring your mother. And the next result of this is that you are going to be one who experiences the blessings of the promise of God. And that this is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Now that's strange. That is strange. Because I would think that the first promise that should have the blessing attached to it will be to obey God. Because that's the first commandment. Is it not? But God says, no, wait. If you're smart, you're going to do that. But I want you to know that your father is representing me. Your mother is representing me. Authority is representing me. I want you to learn obedience. Because if you learn how to obey your parents, if you learn how to obey in this horizontal level, you will know how to obey me in the vertical level. Or let's put it this way. God says, how can you say that you love God, whom you have not seen, if you do not love your brother? Remember that passage? That's the same idea. It's the same idea about obeying your parents. God is saying, how are you going to say you're going to obey me if you've not obeyed your parents? If you've not learned the principle of obedience, which means the principle of submission, submitting yourself, learning to listen, get an instruction, follow the instruction, obey the instruction, do what you are told to do. How are you going to listen to me? Well, let's bring it closer home. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, this is not just only talking about your natural parents, your father and your mother in the Lord. It's talking about your spiritual leadership. Everybody is filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody speaks in tongues. Everybody can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Everybody can whatever and so on and so on and so forth. And God says, obey your parents in the Lord. Pastor tells you something. I want you to do this. And you drag your feet. And you have to be asked 2 times, 3 times. 2 months later, they're still asking you about the same thing. I'm so busy. I'm this. And that's not obedience. You know, obedience means you take the instruction and you say, okay, I'm busy. Now, how can I make this thing happen? God, give me wisdom on how I can get this thing done so that I can receive the blessing of honor. Amen? Your obedience is an act of honor. And God says, There's a blessing attached to it. There's a reward attached to it. You're going to live long. You're going to live blessed. This passage of scripture is very close to my heart. Because this was the passage of scripture that I quoted to the Lord. God was calling me to the ministry. 2 weeks after I got saved in 74, the Lord began to call me. So I want you to come serve me in ministry. I want you to preach for me. I said, no, I'm not doing that. And for 2 years, I argued with God. For 2 whole years, I argued with God about that particular issue. And I remember in 76, early in the year, somewhere between February and March, I said, God, I want to talk to you. Yeah, what do you want to say? I said, I want to show you something in the Bible. You want to show me something in the Bible? I said, yes. It says here, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I said, you know what? My father does not want me in the ministry. Stop bugging me. And would you know that God, who spoke to me every single day about coming into the mission, ministering the word, showing me the mission field, the things that I'm doing today, I shut God down for 6 months. For 6 months, he said not a thing to me. Not a thing. He said nothing. Until September 5th, 1976. Well, I was willing to go witnessing every day. I did that every day. But I was not willing to be a full-time minister. Why? Because all the ministers I knew at that time were broke. And I came from a well-to-do family, and I wasn't about to live a life of suffering. No way. I started life blessed, you know, eating whatever it is I want to eat, driving whatever I want to drive, dressing with whatever it is I want to dress with. And we had money. And they want me to go and become a pastor and then depend on people to give me an offering. No, I'm not doing that. You're not? No. And I quoted this passage. September 5th, 1976. We're in a Thanksgiving service. And I was leading the choir in a Negro spiritual. It was a medley of songs. And we come to this part towards the very last stanza of this Negro spiritual. And we're singing, free at last, I thank God I'm free at last. Free at last, free at last, hallelujah. And I heard my name. Michael, today your father is going to give you up to the work of the ministry, and I don't want to hear any more excuses from you. I stopped it. Everybody's still there, still singing. I said, what was that? It was so loud inside of me, it was almost audible. So I went and sat down in the choir loft after we finished. And to cut a long story short, that day, my father donated me in the offering. He had given a big offering, but that day he offered me to God. I'm giving my only son, he said. Now, by this time, I had some brothers behind me. I'm giving my only son to God. And the power of God hit that church, flattened everybody. There was nobody standing. Nobody standing. The power of God, boom! And I'm on the altar, my hands lifted up. pastor is on the ground. Members are on the ground. Chairs are flying everywhere. Demons are taking off. That's how I came into ministry. Because I said, my father does not want me in the ministry. Okay, is that it? I'll get you. Why did I tell you that? God honors His word. God honors His word. Every word God speaks concerning you will come to pass. Amen? You can run all you want. If God has you on His mind, there is no escaping. You can't hide. Where are you going to hide? Are you kidding me? But God says, He says, there is a promise. There is a promise attached to you honoring your father and your mother. Don't dishonor your father. Don't dishonor your mother. No matter what, respect. It is of utmost importance. How are you going to honor a father, a mother that is acting crazy? By just loving them. Just love them. Now, what your natural father demands of you does not supersede what God wants for you. And if there is a conflict, honor God, the Creator. But before you start dishonoring your natural father because you think you want to honor God, think again. Because God says, you guys, speaking to the Pharisees, you say, give the money to the church. Give your resources to the temple and dishonor your father. Since you think again. No, honor your father. Honor God, honor your father. Do both. Don't do one and not do the other. And think you being spiritual. It does not work that way. And so many times we want to find a way to cut corners. And God is saying, listen, I said, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Why? That it may be well with you. That it may be well with you. That you may prosper. That you may operate in peace. That you may live long on the earth. And then it goes to the fathers and says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't start dealing with your children any which way. You're my child, I can deal with you any which way I want. It says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't cause your children to be filled with anger because of how you're treating them, maltreating them, not listening to them. You want them to listen to you? Listen to them. Find out their perspective. What are they thinking? Why are they acting the way they are acting? Because they've got minds too. If you've been a parent long enough, there comes a time when you are shocked by your children. You're outright shocked. There's one day it's going to happen. The child is going to start talking so smart and so beyond his or her age that you wonder, how long have you been thinking like this? How long? Wow. All the crazy things I've been saying, this kid has been listening. No, act right. Deal with them right. They are great minds. Their bodies may be small, but there's a great mind in there. Amen? It's a great mind. And that child is going to grow up. You know, people treat children like they are nobodies. Don't ever do that. I did not become a pastor September 5th, 1976. That's not the day that I became a minister chosen by God. I was chosen by God before the foundations of the earth. God knew me as his servant. He had assigned me. So while you are busy trying to discipline that child, you may be disciplining your pastor. My father, my own father, called me his pastor. He was the GO of our ministry, but he called me his pastor. He saw something. You've got to treat your children right. Because you're a father or a mother does not mean that you don't apologize. If you did it wrong, you apologize. How are they going to learn how to apologize if you've not learned how to apologize? Well, I'm the boss, you know. I'm not going to apologize. Well, you may get away with it, but it's going to come back to bite at some point. You just love. We call to love. Listen. You may learn something from your child. You know, because there comes a time when you, father or mother, becomes a child to your child. You know, if I'm doing something wrong right now, Ashley can stare me down and says, And I'll start thinking, what did I do wrong? Adrian could look at me and, okay, what did I do wrong? What am I, what's going on here? Oh, I may be acting tough, but I know you're right. Because then, you know, they can be so right. And the reason they become so right is because you taught them that. Now, when you have taught your child everything you know how to teach them, you can be certain that no matter how far they run away from God or from you, they would know how to come back. That's why you don't need to burn your bridges between you and your child. He's doing this thing wrong or doing that thing wrong. Calm down. It's okay. Figure out a way to say what you need to say without killing your child. Because you can kill your own child with what comes out of your mouth. They may act tough, but what you're saying out of your mouth is either going to build them up or destroy them. Because the words that you say, they are hearing, especially the wrong ones. And when they hear the wrong thing, what do you think they say in their heart? My father does not love me. My mother does not love me. Nobody loves me. If my father can't love me and my mother can't love me, who do I expect to love me? Just love. That's what you're called to do. That's part of your status as a parent. So God says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up. Bring them up. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Feed them what God says. Infuse that within them. The prodigal son that left home asked for his inheritance. He says, give me the inheritance that is supposed to be mine. And he was given that, and he left home. And just like the word of God says in Proverbs, if you take your inheritance before it is due, it says that you are going to bankrupt your life. You're going to destroy your life. So when that young man took that inheritance based on the word of God, he had no other place to go but down. He was going to end up exactly where he ended up, because that's what the Word of God teaches. But because there was a father who loved him, and notice the father did not argue at the point with him. Sometimes you got to let that child learn their mistakes. After you've given them what you've got to give to them, you've got to let them learn. The worst thing you can do for your child is over shelter the child. I'm protecting this child. The day that you are not there, because they've not learned how to protect themselves, they'll be exposed to anything and everything, and they'll fall apart. And they don't have a way to come back home. But if you just give them love and give them the word, it matters not how far they go. When you raise up that child, he will find his way back to God. Because one day, just like that prodigal that left home, he said, "What am I doing here eating food left for pigs? The servants in my father's house are doing much better than this. You know, if I go home, if I just even ask to be a servant, I'm going to be way ahead." And he starts heading back home, and what happens? The father sees him afar off. Why? Because he was expecting him and was looking for him. He knew what this son, what he was going to face. Now, watch this. This is important. Are you ready? When a child goes off track and they return, that is not the time for you to remind them about how right you were. See, I told you. You shouldn't have done that. You see? You see? No, that's not what you do. What you do is love them and restore them. You will have that discussion. They've already started beating themselves up. Why do you have to add to it? What you're supposed to do is give them love. That's what the story of the prodigal son is about. It's about just love them anyway. It's restoration. It's like an old friend, and you've been away for the longest time, and you meet again, and it's like you started from where you left off. You understand? You're so excited about each other, and then you start telling the stories that you need to tell to catch up. But you start from, you don't, where did you go? That's not the point. It's not where I went or didn't go. It's about, hey, man, it's so good to see you. Wow. And you hug each other and you're excited, acting like babies. I don't know. And then you catch yourself and say, okay, we're grown-ups. Let's talk. Hallelujah. Same thing. It's just loving. Now, people on the outside, listen. How many of you know God is the perfect father? Yeah? Is he? And he had a son and a daughter called Adam and Eve. Did he? And they messed up. Did they not? So if the perfect father, God, had children that messed up, I can tell you, I can assure you, that it doesn't matter how perfect a parent you are, your children may mess up. It does not mean that you are a bad parent because your child messed up. It means that you're a bad parent when your child does not come back home at all, or when they come back, you are there to knock them over the head with their past failures. Now, that's bad parenting. Good parenting is, okay, I'm so glad that you are here. Let's continue. What happened to you? What were your experiences? Oh, Dad, things were tough. Really? Wow. You mean things got that bad? You almost, oh, my son. So sorry to hear that. Come, let's go. Let's go to the house. Let's eat some goat meat. No. Let's go have some moose. It's restoration. You understand? Restoration. That is what God calls us to. And then, and this is happening because you are feeding them the word of God. Servants, he says, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Your masters according to the flesh. Not your masters just according to the spirit, but your masters according to the flesh. That means be obedient to your employer. He may have issues. He says, be obedient. Work well with him. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Serve your master like you are serving God. Why? Before I go to the why, he says, not with eye service. Don't start working because you see your master coming, and when they're gone, they're coming again. When is he going to leave so I can rest? No, he says, just as you serve me, serve your masters, serve your employer. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Serve from the heart in your place of employment. As servants of Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means as a servant of Christ, where you are working is not your place of employment. It's just the place where you are showing your service to God. So, at your workplace, no matter where it is, serve God. Make sense? Serve God. You're working at Safeway, serve God. You're working at a tax department, serve God. You're working at a bakery, serve God. You're working at Shaw, serve God. You're working at wherever it is that you are working, you're a servant of God. When you are ministering to people in your business, you are serving them like you are serving God. This is the best way to be of service to each other. As a pastor, when I'm preaching the word of God, I should be preaching it like I'm preaching it to God. In other words, I'm preaching it to God and saying to God, this is what you said, this is what you said. And he says, yes, you got it. As long as you're preaching something, God says, where did he get that from? What on earth is he saying? That is nonsense. No. So, I have to be a student of the Word of God to be able to say to God what God said. And God says, wow. Do you know how excited I get when I hear another man of God preaching the truth? It's like I want to jump out of my skin. I'm so excited when I hear sons and daughters, even in this house, preaching the word of God. I'm so excited. Woo! That's so good. Is it because I don't know what they're talking about? No. I know exactly what they're talking about. I hear preachers and I get so excited. And if you didn't know, you think, oh my, this guy doesn't know much, does he? And then I start speaking. Hey! Oh! What? Oh my God, that is good. Wait. even preach your sermon. I thought you didn't know anything. Oh, no, I'm excited about the fact that you know something. That's why I'm excited. I'm excited there's more of us than them. Amen? So if you think, as a minister, hey, I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to preach God's word to God and convince God about this word. Do you know what levels you're going to go to? Because day after day, layer after layer, God is going to be revealing things to you because what you preached last time, that was good. I need another level on it. And now, for you to get that new level, he's going to have to give it to you so you can give it back to him. He says, yes, yes. I'm happy. You're exciting me because I have sons in the earth. People that are not ignorant. They know my word. And therefore, they will do great exploits. That's how I've been waiting. I remember the day, you know, the Lord just reminded me. The Lord came to me and he said, son, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yes, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, like, not to die? He said, yes. I said, why are you doing that? He said, sin. Because of sin, death came. I have solved the problem of sin. You don't need to die anymore. I said, He said, didn't I say, if you believe in me, you shall not die? I'm the resurrection and the life. I said, yeah. He said, but nobody's believing me. So you're still dying. And I said to the Lord, I said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I'm going to hang around for the longest time. Hallelujah. He said, listen, son, you don't have to go to the dust. I said, what are you talking about? He says, when it's time for you to come home, I can just say, come. He said, I've done it before, you know. I said, yeah, Enoch. He said, yeah. I just told him to come. He said, you don't need to see corruption. Wow. That was another level. That was another place. Is this something that is possible in God? Absolutely. And God will show to you and I different things. Now, when God shows you something, don't you ever think that everybody is going to come into agreement with it right away, even if they are reading it from the Word. But it's enough that you believe what God's Word says. Amen? And as servants of God, we need to serve God. We need to serve man from our heart. It says in verse 7, with goodwill, doing service. Not with bitterness, not with hardness of heart, not because, I got to do it. If I don't do it, nobody's going to do it, so I got to do it. No, it says, do it with goodwill. Let your heart be in what you're doing. Be happy while you're doing it. Why? Because God is the one who's going to reward you. Your payment is not coming from the person you're working for. Because you are working for God, your true wages are coming from God. You are operating from a different currency. Amen? Which means that wisdom, everything you need from that currency that God is giving to you, is going to stretch. In other words, if God is the one paying you, watch this. If God is the one paying you and your natural boss gave you $20, in the sight of God, your $20 may produce $1,000 worth of returns. The value of it. In other words, you have $20, and by the time you finish, somebody else who spent that $20, who wants to buy whatever it is that you are buying with $20 would have spent $1,000 to buy the same thing. You know, sometimes I tell people, I said, I have suits that I bought for $150, but the rack rate is $1,500. You know what I'm talking about? If you went to the store to buy that same suit, you pay $1,500. I paid $150. Because I'm working for the Lord. So the little I have produces much. It has nothing to do with men of God. No, it has everything to do with whatever it is that you're doing, you're serving God. Amen? You're serving God. And therefore, whether it's $20 or $100, you are being paid by God, and God is going to produce so much from that $20 or $100. So that somebody else has to pay some exorbitant amount for what you are getting. Does it make sense? Some of you heard me talk about a house, one of the houses that we first lived in, that we bought. The owner, the vendor, was asking 60 plus thousand more than we paid for the house. We offered him 60,000 less. But there was somebody living in that same house who wanted to buy the house 2 weeks before and offered him 40,000 more. We are offering him 60,000 less. That guy is offering him 20,000 less. We are offering him 60,000 less. He sells the house to us. The ones offering him $60,000 less, while the person offering him 40,000 less was still living in the house. So in other words, that guy has to move out of the house and we move in. How does that make any sense in the natural? Well, it gets worse. The guy selling the house was a Jewish lawyer. And I say, a Jewish lawyer, that means this guy knows money. God took our little and made it more. You understand? So also will God do for you. It says in verse 8, oh my. Let me just finish. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Whatever good thing you do, you are going to receive a reward from the Lord. Whether you are a free man, you own your business, or you are an employee. Whether you are an employer or employee, it makes no difference. God will reward you if you are doing a good thing. Amen? And ye masters, God covers everything. Fathers, children, servants, now masters. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. Don't be threatening your employees. If you don't act right, I'm going to fire you, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Say, stop that. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. You've got a master in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Doesn't care whether you are supposedly the boss. You start treating your employees shabbily. God says, okay, I'll have to deal with you. It seems to me that you really don't want to make money in your business. It seems to me that you think that because you have so much money, you can abuse people. I'm going to take this business from you so you learn something. Pay attention to your employee as an employer. Pray for them. Believe God with them. Help them in ways that they need help. If you're doing that, you will receive help too. In other words, God says, he's saying, two hands wash better than one. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Don't be too heady that you don't consider the simple man. Everybody is important. Your husband is important. Your wife is important. Your children are important. Your parents are important. Your employee is important. Your employer is important. Everybody is important in God. And the way to establish that is to establish this. Love people. Just simply love people. It's an old song that I used to hear growing up. It went something like this. There is no condition that is permanent in this world. There is no condition that is permanent in this world. You may be a rich man today. Tomorrow you become poor. You may be a poor man today, and tomorrow you become rich. There is no condition that is permanent in this world. Don't look down on anybody. Don't look down on anybody. Oh, this guy is it's unimportant. You may find out one day what you are abusing was called to be an answer for you. Never despise people. Patience, love, care for people, help others. Ultimately, you get help. Maybe not from them, but God will send you help somewhere, somehow, when you need help, because you're helping people. Invest. Invest in other people's life. And one day, God will surprise you. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due course, you will reap a harvest if you don't faint. Amen? So don't let anybody make you become something that you should not be. Because people are acting crazy and wicked, don't make them turn you to that. If you allow people to make you become something that is unlike God, you hurt yourself. You did it to yourself. Don't ever give anybody that power. As I conclude, let me put it this way. Don't let your happiness in life be dependent on what somebody else does. If you do, you're going to live a very miserable life. You don't give that power to nobody. If they do this, if they do that, then I'm going to be happy. If my wife loves me, then I'm going to be happy. If my husband loves me, then I'm going to be happy. If my children do this, then I'm going to be happy. If my parents do this, then I'm going to be happy. If my boss does this, then I'm going to be happy. If my employees do this, then I'm going to be... You just made yourself miserable. Because the devil, as soon as he finds out your whole life is dependent on what other people do, he will make sure that they do the wrong things. And you will live a life of bitterness, strife, confusion. You age yourself. And oil of olay will not help you. That's all I have to say about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, next week we'll pick it up from here and we'll begin the first part of discussing spiritual warfare. Amen. And that part I'm going to go as slow as I can so you get it. If I need to go fast, I'll go fast. But if I need to go slow so you get it, because all of this book has been heading towards that one segment. All of it is leading to this point. So it's going to start out by saying, finally, brethren, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the grace that you've accorded us. I am convinced, O God, that you've spoken to us tonight. I ask, O God, that you help us fulfill our call and destiny. Speak to us, O God, in ways that we have not heard hitherto. And from henceforth, Lord God Almighty, may our lives shine as light. May we be men of honor, women of honor, people of integrity, resilient, committed, passionate, obedient, people of honor. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. It is destroying yokes and removing burdens off of our lives, that we may, O God, be your voice in this last of the last days. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.